while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today's sermon theme, growing in Christ. It's an interesting one, growing in Christ. What does that mean, growing in Christ? What does it mean? And hopefully, what I intend to do is to, I have very, very few notes today. I just want to speak from my heart. I just want to, you know, in fact, when I put my notes on a sheet of, on one side of A4, all of my notes, usually it's four or five sheets. One side of A4, that was it. And today I just felt I should just speak, just flow. When we think about growing in Christ, what does that mean? And as I was thinking about and preparing toward today, something hit me. And it didn't hit me, you know, I wish I could stand here and say, oh, the Holy, you know, some people say something said. Not something. If you're a Christian, it's the Holy Spirit. Stop calling him something. You know, I wish I could stand here and say to you, the Holy Spirit said to me, Deji, look, big revelation. I didn't catch that revelation first. Pastor Manuela said to me, we were talking, and we were talking about something, and she said, oh, you know, the sermon series that we're in. And I was like, what sermon series? She said, yeah, the sermon series we're doing. And I'm like, we're not doing a sermon series. I said, oh, are you trying to promote your, because the next sermon series we're doing is about 6 or 7 weeks. That's her. She created that sermon series. She came up with the ideas, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. I'm looking forward to hearing the sermons as they're preached. I said, are you trying to promote yourself? She said, what are you talking about? The sermons were, and I said, I don't understand. And she went to the themes of sermons that we've preached, I think last week or a couple of weeks, and the stuff that's coming. And she was, look at this. And then we're thinking about that, and we're talking about this. And I was like, Oh, my voice can't go deeper than this. I was like, oh, there's something going on here. And then I went home, and as I was talking to Sumi about it, and I said, I just want to speak from the heart. She said, yeah, you know, because of the way things have been going. And I was like, wow, you too? And so I then went and I looked at what we've been doing. And really, it started back in February. We had that sermon where Emmanuel brought, and he, part of the Money Mastery series. Do you remember that? Yes, there's an image, yeah, part of the Money Mastery series. And Emmanuel was one of the key speakers in that three-part series, talking about how we spend, how we invest, how we earn, how we give generously. And then we moved on. The next, the week after that was speak, Lord, we're listening. Where we just, remember the worship, we just had worship. I said, Lord, we're listening, talk to us. And then we went from there to talking about the God who sees me. Understanding that we're not alone in this place, no matter what it is you're going through. And we looked at the story of Hagar and how I don't care where you are. God sees you. He knows you by name. And he is with you and he is for you. And then from there, we said, Lord, just one sign. That's all we need is one sign from the Master, one sign from God. Looking for, you know, sometimes that's all you need. You know, I was talking with a dear, dear, dear brother who's going through some stuff, personal stuff, that's affecting him as an individual. It's affecting his home. It's affecting his marriage. In fact, he's going through stuff. His wife's going through stuff. His family's going through stuff. And do you understand? And sometimes all we need is one word. All we need is one sign. And, you know, after I spent time with him, my whole heart was, Lord, just one sign. Sometimes that's all you need. Have you ever been, maybe you're ill, maybe you're unwell. You know, I work as a chaplain in a hospital, and sometimes I'll go and I'll stand by them, and all I'll do is I'll say hello, and they'll burst into tears, and they say, I can't remember the last time somebody said hello. Because the nursing staff, the medical staff are there for a reason, and they're there for a good reason. But they're not there to be your friend. They're not there to have a chat. When they ask you, how are you today, they're being polite. They're ticking a box. Why? I mean, 99% of them have good hearts, and when they ask, how are you today, they want to know. But actually, in truth, in practice, it doesn't much matter what you say to them, because you're under their care. Do you understand what I mean? How are you today? I don't want any medication. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, yeah, sharp scratch. Boom. Sharp scratch. You're going to hurt me. It's not a sharp scratch. Do you understand? And sometimes all you need is one sign. One word, one person, one hug, one high five, one hello, one handshake, one sign. And after one sign, we talked about the king that's coming. The fact that the one that gave us that sign is coming soon. He is coming and he's coming for us. He's coming for his people. Of course, that was around Easter time, where on Good Friday it was Sunday's coming as the message. And on Easter Sunday, system reset. System reset. And after this, we looked at our motto verse again, when the going gets tough, how to be patient in affliction. When the going gets tough, what happens when it collapses? What happens when plans don't go the way you want or thought or dreamed or hoped? When they don't go the way you prayed? What happens? And I'm looking in this congregation now and I'm looking across this place, and I know many of you have experienced pain and trauma and difficulty. You're still here. You're still standing. You're still trusting God. Amen. So when the going gets tough, and straight after that, Pastor Edward came, lessons from the shipwreck. Do you remember that one? Lessons from the shipwreck. Because when the going gets tough, sometimes, listen, we say, oh yeah, you know, we do this whole thing. Yeah, God's going to get me to the other side. Saints, let me tell you, sometimes the ship goes down. Sometimes the ship goes down. Do you understand? Oh, I just remembered a song, song references. Some of you are thinking about the same song. Dido. Was it Dido? I won't go down with this ship. I won't throw my hands and surrender. Something like that. Sometimes the ship goes down. It's about you getting to safety. It's not about the ship. It's about the Lord being with you. Never lose your anchor. Never lose your anchor. And then after that, what happened? God, give me a plan. 2 weeks we focused on this. God, give me a plan. And then last week, Pastor Manuela brought that sermon about the mighty fortress, Psalm 46. God doesn't leave us. He is a refuge. He doesn't forsake us. Who told you you're alone? Who told you that? Who told you you're going to fall and fail? Who told you that it's over for you? Who told you? Upon what authority did they speak? God's with us. He's the same God. He does things in different ways. His principles remain the same, but his methods are sometimes change. And we learned that last week. And I suddenly started to, I want to encourage you. I know sometimes we say this. The resources are there. I'm sorry, you might not like me after this. But the resources are there. Sometimes people will come to me and say, oh, Pastor, right now, sometimes I feel a bit, I don't know if God's going to protect me. Were you in church last week? Yes, I was. You were there when Pastor Manuel was preaching? Yes, I was. What did she preach about? Oh, I know, it was a nice sermon. Excuse you? It's on the website. It's in the app. It's on YouTube. YouTube's free. You don't need to log into YouTube. You don't need an account. You don't need a password. It's free. It's every. You know what? You don't have it. I'll stick it on a CD and give it to you. Faith comes by hearing. Not faith comes by, I heard it last week. Hearing means it's continuous, it's present, it's now, you do it. And hearing, continuous present, ad infinitum. Hearing. Go back, I want to encourage you, I want to ask you, I want to challenge you. Because I listen to the sermons, yes. I go back and I listen to the sermons. And if you're talking to me about something that was addressed in a sermon, I really, really wonder if you want change. I wonder if you do want a change. You know, people will say to me, oh, but Pastor, I do want the change. I do want a change in my life. You do? I do. Okay, go and listen to that sermon. Come back to me with what you've heard. 6 months later, I'm still waiting for them to come back. And yet they say, do you understand my point? You go to your GP, the GP writes you a prescription. And then 3 weeks later, you go back, you say, GP, I'm still in pain. GP says, oh, how'd you get on with the prescription? Well, I didn't really take it. What are they going to say to you? Okay, there. Bank that. Selah. All right, so we've come through all of this. And today, growing in Christ, the maturing in Christ. I want us to look at, and what I want to do is I want to just take a little bit of time and looking at the verses of Scripture. Forgive me, media team, I didn't ask you for this already. I want the verses of Scripture, each of them. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Ready, just each one in turn. displayed on screen, if you would please. And I want us to start there as soon as you are ready. John 15:1. This is Jesus here speaking. This is Jesus speaking about what it takes, the cost of growth. You know, I meet with people all the time. I met with a dear, dear sister recently who said to me, I said to this person, we haven't seen you in church. We haven't seen you in church for weeks and weeks and weeks. And there was a why, and Pastor, you know, you don't understand, and Pastor, let me explain. And there was some other stuff going on personally, and I accept that. I recognize that. I respect that there were things going on. And then the person says to me, but you know, I really, 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 really want to get close to God. How do you get close to someone that you're not drawing close to? I said to the person, I'm confused. I'm really confused. You want to get close to God, but you're disconnected. You're distant. You're removed. This was a person who says, oh, I can't find my Bible, in a conversation we had. It's like, wow. And you want to, how do those two things work? How do they work? Are you ready, media team? Just verse 1, when you're ready, pop it up on screen. The text, yes, no, no, okay, I'll keep going. Because I wanted us to, do you know what, grab your Bibles, come on. Whether it's a paper Bible, an iPad, you know, YouVersion app on your phone. And if you don't have a Bible, just keep smiling. Oh, it's on screen. Whoop, whoop. Okay, here we go. Jesus said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. No, just take it one verse at a time. Thank you very much. What does that mean? A vine, what is a vine? A vine is a plant, right? Isn't it? It bears fruit. Typically, grapevine, we get grapes. How many people here do not like grapes? Let me see your hands, because my hand's up. I was just going to lay it back down on you and just pray for you right now. How can you not like grapes? I'm sure it's illegal to not like grapes. It should be anyway. Everybody likes grapes, you know, unless it disagrees with you for health reasons. But sometimes you buy grapes and they're really sour. Other times you buy grapes and they're so sweet. There's all sorts of varieties of grapes. And a vine is this plant. It's a living organism. Its roots go down into the soil and it grows. And out of it, it's got branches, it's got, you know, leaves, etc. Where we live, the house opposite us actually has, the house opposite us have got a vine. They've got grapevine growing in London. I mean, this isn't Italy, you know, or volcanic. What did somebody say? Volcanic, anyway, I don't know. I think volcanic soil is good for grapes. Is that right? Wine connoisseurs. No? Everybody's like, oh, I ain't telling them I'm drinking wine. This is an ambush. We know this guy. He's going to call me for counseling, ask me how much wine I'm drinking. It's not an ambush. So the roots go down. It gets its nutrients from the soil. But like any good plant, particularly fruit-bearing plants, it needs to be pruned. It needs to be tended. You need to look after it. We got an apple tree in our garden. Last year, there were about 400 apples from this thing. We're trusting some of them weren't very good because the weather was, you know, that extra heat. It was a bit dodgy. So this year, I'm trying to make efforts. You know, who here doesn't want to eat apples from my... They're sweet, you know. So should I bring some into church? Yeah. Okay, a few people want them. The rest are like, I'm not sure about this guy. So I'll bring some in. And it's important, if you do not tend the tree, if you do not tend the crop, how do you expect to get a good harvest? But I love this verse. It says, my Father, capital F, God the Father, is the gardener. We'll come to the role of the gardener. In fact, let me just do it. What is the gardener prunes it. The gardener gets rid of the bugs. The gardener makes sure it's in good soil, that it is healthy, that it is watered, that it's got enough sun, it's got enough shade. The gardener works over the plant. And you know, when I read this verse, you know, sometimes we read scripture and we just say, oh, my Father is the gardener, yeah. Just stop. hammer time. Just stop. Sorry. I can't help myself. Just stop and think about that for a moment. God's working. God's the one in the sun and in the rain. He's the one out there in the wintertime making sure this plant is still alive. Verse 2. Jesus goes on to say, he cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. You know, this is where you start getting into some of the hard sayings of Jesus. You know, we have this, I've said it here before many times, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. There's a wonderful book called Jesus, Mean and Wild. Because some of the things Jesus says, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Some of the things Jesus said, if I said them in here, I'd probably be politely escorted from the building. He says he cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. Because when he's talking about the vine and God's the gardener, he goes on to talk about how we are the branches. There's an expectation that we are fruit-producing branches. But he also prunes the branches so that they bear fruit and will produce even more. The pruning is you cut away the dead bits. You cut away, do you understand what I mean? Deadheading. Is that right? Is that a good phrase, Gene? Deadheading? Am I okay? Put me right, Gene. Put me right. You know, I know Gene's a very keen gardener, by the way. Her services are not up for tender. No, you can't afford her anyway. But she's a very skilled gardener. And so the deadheading, getting rid of, it's the same way you have a haircut. It's the same way you cut your nails. It's the same way you get rid of dead skin so that fresh skin can grow and breathe. Verse 3, or the next verse. You have already, what translation is this? The New Living Translation. Yeah, that'll do. Because I'm thinking, I don't understand, I don't recognize these words. You've already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. And Jesus here is talking about the fact that he's talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to us, his disciples today. That the things he has already said had a job to cut away some of that dead skin, cut away some of the dead cells. You've already been, you're already clean, okay, fair enough. Which is the same thing, when you clean off sometimes on a tree, on a branch, on a fruit bearing, we see it on our apple tree, you know, you'll have the odd dead leaf, yes? You'll have the, how many people, you know, with plants, if you have, say, a plant like the one we have in our kitchen, I don't know what these plants are called, and there's a dead leaf on the plant, do you know you're supposed to take it off? You know that, right? Why do you take it off? Exactly. Because even that dead leaf is taking nutrients away from the rest of the plant. Shelley is also a keen gardener. She might be up for hiring, you know. Very, very keen gardener. I mean, you know, she was like, oh, and we've got this, and we've got that. And we've got, I thought I was a, you know, RHS Garden Wisley, you know, Royal Horticultural Society. So you've got to take the dead stems, dead leaves, dead plant leaves, take them off. Because if you're not taking that dead stuff off, it will negatively impact the rest of the body. Please keep going. Oh, you're already clean because of the word. Remain in me, I in you. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Again, I want to emphasize, Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the vine. We cannot bear fruit. So you have the vine. The vine is composed of branches. And it is the branches that bear fruit. Okay? And he is talking about the fact that us bearing fruit is determined, is essential, or is, what's the word? I want to say you must. Dependent. Oh, bless you. Thank you. You love me more than the rest of them. Us bearing fruit as a branch is dependent on our connection to the vine. Absolutely dependent on our connection to the vine. And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse. You cannot bear fruit. And this is the thing that blows my mind. Like the person I was talking to. I said, what's going on? Oh, pastor, you don't understand. And I was like, oh, here we go. 27 years of doing this. Okay, yeah, make me understand. You know, help me understand. You don't understand. It's so difficult. Oh, I'm like, oh, you poor thing. You know, not knowing that there are people who come to church, PHBC, who've come from a night shift. who will finish on a Saturday night and come to church on a Sunday morning. And here's somebody who works Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and got some other stuff going on. It's got a solid roof, solid job, bills are paid, you know, and it's like, come on, yeah. And they cut themselves off. They're away over there, and they say, but I'm still a Christian. You're a Christian singularly in identity, not in character, not in who you are becoming. You're a Christian because you believe and you were baptized, full stop. But you're not growing as a Christian because you've been disconnected from the vine. You cannot bear fruit by yourself. You must remain in Christ to bear fruit. Keep going. Next verse. I'm the vine, it says, you're the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Next verse. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Again, when I talk about the hard sayings of Jesus, it's easy to read this and not think for a moment. Jesus is talking about people. Jesus is saying, basically, let me rephrase it this way. Jesus is saying, if you're no use to me, you're no use. It's a hard thing to hear. It's a hard thing to say. He is saying any branch that doesn't remain in me is taken away and thrown into the fire. What? That's harsh. But it's truth. But it is truth because he expects of us to be fruitful. Next verse, please. Let's move on with this. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You know that song? Oh. Anyway, so, oops. Oops. So, it was 1988. Some of you here have been Christians way before me. That's the song I used to love listening to. Ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. No? Okay. You know, there's a saying, they say, quit while you're ahead. Yeah. When you sing half the song and nobody's with you, you don't need to finish the song. That's on record now. That's in the public domain. I have learned that lesson, okay? I've learned that lesson. You know, whatever you wish, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if we are in Christ, and what the teachings, the methodology, the principles, the theologies of Christ, and those things are in us, there's nothing we will ask for that will not be ours. It is about where we are, our position. Next verse. Is this the last verse? This is the last verse, yeah. It says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Just leave that on screen for a moment. Why are we bearing fruit? To give glory to God. Why have we got an output? To give glory to God. It's as simple as that, saints. People say, oh, do you know Bob? I know someone called Bob, so I don't want to use the name Bob. Do you know Fred? I know Fred. Oh, do you know what? I'll just go back. Do you know, because I'll be here all day. Do you know Bob? Oh, yeah. Oh, he's such a nice guy. He's such a this, he's such a that. I'm sorry, with all due respect, do you know what I say? I just quote Jesus, by their fruits ye shall know them. Don't tell me who Bob is, show me his output. It's the truth, show me his output. Does my wife know that I love her? Do you know that I love you? Oh, she said I do for those of you that are online and on radio. She said I do. Oh. What's your name? I have no idea what you said. What's your name? Chloe. Oh, hello, Chloe. Did you hear what she said? She said, I do. In fact, just for that, I'll do the cooking. Although it might be salad at this rate. Now, how does she know? It's not because I said it. Honestly, I'm standing here and I cannot remember the last time I said it. With words. Aha. actions speak louder than words. We're sitting there, we're filling people's heads with words, but your actions are saying something else. Don't tell me you love me. I'll see it and I'll know. I don't need your words. People come up to me, oh, Pastor, I'm praying for you, you know, that you will rest. Don't pray for me to rest. Come and take something off my hands. It's the truth. Because while I'm sleeping, who's doing the to-do list? My to-do list is sitting there, waiting for me to come back from my nap. If you say, you know what, Pastor, give me, somebody sent me a message this week. Yes, you sent me a message and said, Pastor, I'm available to help. Oh my, I didn't see it coming. I looked at you already, so you know it's you. And the rest of you just keep smiling in case it was you as well. Because the person started smiling, that's why I did that. I didn't see it coming. This is how many years have I known you? Sit and come to church and just coast in and coast out week in, week out. And then from nowhere, give me a job. And I was just blown away. And I prayed for you. I prayed for you and I thanked God for you. Yeah, so that everybody's now getting, my phone's going to be blowing up after church. You know, if that's what it takes. Yeah, Pastor, give me a job. Yeah, he's praying for me. Bearing fruit is why we're here. Our growth in Christ is not measured by how big our Bible is, or how old the Bible is, or how tattered the Bible is, or how many scriptures you can quote. Our growth in Christ is measured by your output. I talked about vines. You can stick it up now. There's a vine, the world's largest vine. Has anybody ever seen a vine, a fruit vine, a grapevine? The world's largest vine, do you know where it is? It's in London. Yes, not even worse, in Surrey. Hampton Court. The world's largest vine, it's called the Great Vine of Hampton Court. This vine was planted, are you ready for it? 256 years ago was when it was planted. In Hampton Court, the gardener at the time is a man called Capability Brown. Very famous, very well-known gardener. 1768 was when this thing was planted. It is still alive today. Some of its branches are 40 meters long. Let me help you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This room is about just over 20 meters long. From this wall to that wall is about 20 meters. Some of its branches double the length of this room. This vine, that's the picture you see on your screens is a picture of the base of the vine, where it goes into the ground. The base of the vine now is 4 meters wide. Let me help you. 4 meters is about, yeah, from where I'm standing to the cross. The base of the vine is that big. This thing is gigantic. It is still alive and it is still bearing fruit. The significance of this vine isn't just there for historical purposes. It's still alive. How do we know it's alive? It's still bearing fruit. Guess how much? They get hundreds of kilos of grapes every year from this vine. Go look it up. Hampton Court Palace website has all the details. If you like Wikipedia, it's there as well. The largest they got was 383 kilos of grapes one particular year. The grapes are sold, by the way. And this is a vine. And when I heard about this vine, when I thought about growing in Christ, I thought, this is what it requires. What are the things that are a requirement for growth? Number one, you need to be planted. You need to be planted in the right place, in the right way. You need to be planted. And here is the thing, you know, I'm sorry, if you're planted in the wrong place, you need a replant. How many people know sometimes something's dying, it's not because there's anything wrong with the water or even there's anything wrong with the plant itself. Sometimes it is the soil that's killing the plant. Where are you planted? Who are you connected to? Who is in your network that is influencing and affecting your net worth? I was talking to somebody, giving this person counsel about a relationship thing, and the person said, you know, my boss at work said blah, 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 and something, thing. And this person took their boss's advice, and their relationship went left. It went left. They were right at the edge of a cliff. And I said, with all due respect, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it the way it is. Your boss at work should be your boss at work. He is neither counselor nor clergy in your life, has no business speaking into your relationship. Let your boss be your boss. Compartmentalize. Understand that. I'm not saying don't take counsel, but goodness me, get a second opinion from somebody who knows. So you need to be planted. Growth requires that. You uproot the plant, there's no growth. You disconnect from the soil, there's no growth. You want to know God, you have questions about God, you have doubts even about God, then get to know God. Check out God for yourself. Many years ago, and a few of you who remember, you know, we're in Peckham, Young Adults Fellowship. There was a young man there coming from a Muslim background, and he gave his heart to the Lord. He was serving God faithfully, coming to church. And then his dad, who never went to the mosque, never didn't care about faith or religion or anything, had a problem with him going to church. He was like, Dad, but you, it's not like you're saying I should have gone to the mosque. You don't go to the mosque, you don't care. And I've chosen the church, I've chosen Christ. And the dad says to him, oh, this Christ, it's this church that you're going to, and this whole Jesus thing is probably all lies anyway. And you know what he answers his dad? Why don't you come along and find out? Just come. Come and see for yourself. Come and check it out. Do your own research. Is God real? Come and do your own research. If you want to know God, you're not going to know him from a distance. Let me give you quickly three essential characteristics for growing in Christ. You can take that off. Three essential characteristics for growing in Christ. Characteristic number one, an essential critical characteristic, is your worship life. Your worship. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, he talks about the decree that was given by Nebuchadnezzar that at the sound of the trumpet, everybody shall bow down and worship the image of the king. Do you remember that? Some of you Bible scholars remember that. It's in Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. You can read that. And what he's talking about there is that particular context of worship is talking about worship where you bow down. Worship is the bowing down. The act of worship is, I mean, then you physically bow down. Now, you know, some of them, yeah. It's not about the physicality, but our hearts have to still bow before God. Even though I like a good bow down sometimes, you know. I do love me a bow down. And he's saying, you know, you have to, when you hear this, you bow down and worship. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. For those who are taking notes those who like a good reference. The same, similar sort of thing. Satan encountered Jesus. He went face off with Jesus in the wilderness. Bible says it took him to the highest mountain, a high cliff. And he said, if you bow down, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You bow down and worship me now. You worship me now. I'll give it to you. I will give it to you. I will make sure it's yours. Worship, the act of worship is the act of bowing down. So number one is our worship. And it is critical we think about how we worship. Who we're worshiping. Some of us, you've heard, you know this. Some of us are worshiping our work, our mortgage, our jobs. We're worshiping the sense to feel like, you know, I'm the biggest man of the big men. I'm the this, I'm the that, and the other thing. We're egos. You know, social media isn't helping much, you know, these days. You know, it's all about the me, me, me. It's the selfie. It's myself. You know, what are we worshiping? Where are we yielding our time? Where are we yielding our will? Where are we yielding our choice? What are we making bigger than us? So step one, or essential characteristic one, sorry, is our worship. There's a phrase, there's something that I say, and those of you in the worship team will have heard me as I've taught this over a number of years, that if we worship, it is essential that we get to know the one that we worship. You can only worship a thing or a person to the degree that you know the thing or the person. You can't. If you don't know money, you can't really worship money. If you don't know a person, you can't really worship that person. You worship a person or a thing or a being to the degree that you know them. And so knowledge must be a part of our worship. Knowing God, getting to know God, getting to know Christ must be an essential part of our worship if we are to grow in Him. But as I said to the worship team, if we worship without knowledge, our worship has no truth, because you don't know the one you're worshiping. And if we worship with knowledge but have no faith, then our worship has no substance. If all you have is knowledge and you don't have the faith that God is and that God can and that God will, then your worship has no substance. So number one, it's absolutely critical as a characteristic of growing in Christ that we shore up our worship. Characteristic number two is our fellowship. Worship, fellowship. Characteristic number two, our fellowship. God calls us into union, into unity, into family. He calls us into oneness with other believers. The scripture talks about how just as a friend lifts the countenance of another, so iron sharpens iron. He calls us into fellowship with one another so we can support one another, encourage one another. Honestly, sometimes, correct one another, put one another right, defend one another, rebuke one another, help one another, teach one another, love one another. That's what family does. Sometimes we step on one another's toes. Don't worry about it. Keep dancing. It's the truth. Keep dancing. How many people here have you ever had somebody step on your toes? Here's my thing I'm going to throw in your direction. Because me too. That's why I put my hand up. Me too. Should I tell you something? Do you know how hard it is to step on the toes of someone who's moving? If someone's stepping on your toes, my response to you is, get moving. Get moving. Because when you're running, who can step on your toes? When you're jogging, who can step on your toes? It's so hard. I mean, that's just assault, isn't it? So fellowship, he calls us to be one, to be of the same heart, the same mind. He calls us to be not just of the same heart and same mind. He calls us into something that is beyond us, that's bigger than us, that's more than us. As I like to say, it's not about you. Oh, they don't want to say it. You said it. It's not about you. Get over yourself. I want you to lovingly say that to somebody now. Go on. Lovingly. It's not about you. Get over yourself. Go on. It's not about you. Get over yourself. I said it to somebody just now. They said, okay. But what gets in the way of this? Our pride gets in the way of our fellowship. This, that, and the other thing gets in the way of our fellowship. We say, oh, did you hear? Did you see the way she looked at me? And the poor sister wasn't even looking at you. She was thinking about whether she's going to buy one piece of fish or two pieces of fish for lunch. She didn't see you. She didn't even know you were in church. It's not about you. Get over yourself. He calls us into fellowship because it's there that we're planted. It's there we can grow. The third characteristic in growing in Christ is discipleship. Number one, our worship. Number two, our fellowship. Number three, our discipleship. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 is the Great Commission. Go into the world, preach the gospel, teach them, baptize them. Go, he said. Go. Church is very much come and hear, come and hear. It's supposed to be go and tell. As somebody said, church is like a petrol station. You don't drive to the petrol station, fill up your tank, leave your car there and go home. You fill it with fuel and what do? You drive that thing. So we're supposed to be out there making a difference. Yeah, you like that, did you? Yeah. We're supposed to be out there making a difference in this community, in this society, in our places and spaces that God has taken us to. Archbishop Lanfranc, you're already making a difference there anyway. Yeah, that's right. I saw your eyes pop. I was talking to you. You're already making a difference there. I saw the people that came the other day. Oh, yeah, I'm with her. I'm with her. I'm with her. I'm like, wow, respect. Make a difference in your schools. Make a difference in your college. Make a difference at work. What do your neighbors think of you? If I came to your house right now, Do me a favor. What's your door number? The door of your house. I don't know why. If you're a PHBC member, I can look you up in the app. I'll find you. Just shout some numbers. What's your door number? 4, 15, 67, 20, 29, 9. So the door number 9, if I went to the guys at door number 11 and I said, what do you think of them? What would your neighbors say? Number 67, if I went to the folks at number 65 and I said, what do you think of him? What will your neighbor say? Are you invisible? Are you actually invisible? Because I'm sorry, I'm just, like I said, you might not like me after this. You know, many of us are invisible to our neighbors. We're invisible. We treat them as if we don't care whether they live or die. Will your neighbors say, oh, wow, that wonderful family, they always say hello. Will our neighbors say, that wonderful family, sometimes they move their car for, you know, parking wars. They move their car forward so we can park. Or will they say, that them ones, they're always blocking our driveway. We know about them. You know, they got 5 cars on this street, nobody can park. Their music's too loud. We say hello to them, they look like they've inhaled onion juice. What will your neighbors say about you? Because it's easy to say, oh, disciples, go and preach the gospel. Somebody said once, at all times, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Because your life is already a sermon, saints. Who you are and how you are. People are watching you, trust me. People are watching you. And I'm saying, I'm telling you now, full disclosure, if you are a member of this church, forget people, I'm watching you. Because I want to know who you are. I want to know where you are. But more than that, God's watching you. And are you being a disciple? Are you going out into the world, fulfilling the Great Commission? Jesus said to them, he said, go and do likewise. What you have seen me do, he said to his disciples, go and do likewise. The things that you have seen Jesus do, the preachings, the teachings, the trusting God for miracles, the giving, the sacrificing. When was the last time you went and did likewise? Somebody taught you, go teach someone. Pay it forward. That's discipleship. That's the third characteristic of growing in Christ. And through all of this, accountability is key. You can't be an isolated, you know, you're over there somewhere. You're not part of the vine. The vine is connected. It's interconnected. Think about the great vine of Hampton Court. Earlier on, I was saying this. I said, you know, a vine that big, a vine that old, a vine that size, nearly 400 kilos of grapes, 40 meter branches, 256 years old. It takes work. The gardener of the keeper of the vine is her name. The lady, there's a lady there now, Jill Strud, I can't remember her name. She's a keeper of the vine. It's a significant job. She talks about how she has to adjust the heating certain times of the year. She has to adjust ventilation certain times of the year. They go around, they're pruning, they're taking off dead skin cells. They're taking off things where insects can hide. Things that will bring detriment to the vine. In the same way the Lord is doing for you. There is a cost to growth. There's a cost to growth. You know, I want to show you, there's a second picture of the vine when I went to go look up the great vine of Hampton Court. Because there's a large space. So the vine itself is in this, like a greenhouse, absolutely massive greenhouse enclosure. But outside the enclosure, there is a space of just soil, bare soil. There's a bit of pavement, a bit of patio, and then just bare soil. And then you have this sign. And it says, the roots of the vine extend beneath this area. It is kept unplanted in order to prevent other plants from competing for moisture and nutrients. So they have found out where the roots of the vine go. They go under the soil over here. And all they do, they leave the soil open. And they'll put compost on it. And they'll put manure on it, and they'll put fertilizer, and they'll put water on it. Nothing else is allowed to grow on that soil. Why? So that the vine gets the best. What the vine gets is not diminished. What the branches actually get is not diminished. What the fruit get is not diminished. That's why they leave it open. But it takes people, it takes lighting, it takes maintenance, it takes space. There is a cost for them to get the yield of the hundreds of kilos of fruit every year. That's fine. So, what is it going to cost you? You want to grow in Christ. What is it going to cost you? They say it takes a village. I said this, I don't know, I found myself saying this to so many people over the last couple of weeks. They say it takes a village to do what? To raise a child. I love the way we throw these things out. and sometimes we don't pause and think about us. Let me tell you what I have discovered. It is true that it takes a village to raise a child, but I have discovered it takes a village to sustain an adult. It takes a village to sustain a marriage. It takes a village to sustain a job. It takes a village to sustain you on your course. Where is your village? Who is your village? Who are the people around you from whom you can take godly lessons, godly learning, godly wisdom, godly advice? The reason Emmanuel came here to talk about finances, he's a man of God, he's a child of God, and he's out there making a difference. That's the kind of person you take godly advice from. You know, on the 14th of January, I made a statement. When I was, the first time I preached on the motto verse, I said the you of tomorrow is dependent on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. I'll say it again. The you of tomorrow is depending on the you of today to keep the promises made by the you of yesterday. Where did you make a promise? Which promise have you kept? Have you not kept? Which promise have you broken to yourself, to God, to others? Oh, I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to worship more. I'm going to study the Bible more. I'm going to this thing, that thing, the other thing. I'm going to join Fit Temple. By the way, Fit Temple is closed. You can't join any longer. Yeah, it is, because it's a class. You know, it works like that. So you can't join. You have to wait for the next round. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. We procrastinate until it passes. And then we say, oh, well, it's passed. Where do you need to go back and pick up, restore those broken promises? Because the other thing that I said, the second time I preached on the motto verse was on the 7th of April, when I said the greatest mark for any Christian is not consistency in who you are, it's continuity in who Christ is. So who are you today? Let me recap the three characteristics, three key characteristics for our growing in Christ. Is worship, where we come and we submit it all to Him. All aspects of who we are, our lives, our job, marriage, children, home, our choices, even the music we listen to, everything about us, we worship God through it. We submit it to Him. Number two is our fellowship, the connections that we have, the network helping to determine our net worth. Because your net worth isn't just about money and the things you can attain and acquire. And then number three, our discipleship. How we give, how we share from the abundant resource that God has created us to be. Amen? Amen. And as we abide in these three, it is my prayer that the Lord would truly, truly show Himself, reveal Himself in every aspect of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.